Utsiyata Dishmaya, let's continue in building our bitahon muscle. And let's start off by being thankful. Mismole Todah, Psalms 100. A psalm of thanksgiving call out to Hashem, everyone on earth. Serve Hashem with gladness. Come before Him with joyous song. Know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for Hashem is good. His kindness is eternal, and from generation to generation is His faithfulness. Baruch Hashem. So now let's see here what the Beis Halevi has to say. I love the timing of the Shiurim and the messages that we just derive from these wonderful teachings from the Beis Halevi and from Rabbeinu Bechaye. So now let's see what the Beis Halevi has to say about Bitahon. So here he wants to bring down that not having Bitahon in Hashem and being fearful instead is itself the cause of downfall. And it says that this sin itself causes him to fall, to come to harm. It can be seen in the scripture statement, and we see it in Mishlei, where it says that a man's fear will place a snare, but one who relies on Hashem will be fortified. So for when a person trembles in fear of something, rather than relying on Hashem, this itself causes a snare, one that did not even exist previously, to be placed in front of him regarding that very matter that he feared. In other words, the Beis Halevi here is describing frightening consequences of being afraid. That the Torah truly expects that one should not be afraid of any situation or difficulty that a person is faced with. So this would seem impossible, for isn't fear a natural human instinct? We have to ask ourselves. I'm sure we're saying that within ourselves right now. So the Stipler Gaon, he writes that one is certainly not held accountable for natural fear or anxiety that you experience, which is practically uncontrollable. The Torah was not given to angels and doesn't expect us to be superhuman. However, he explains the Stipler Gaon that one must control himself not to think about worrisome thoughts on an ongoing basis, and as such thoughts cause additional fear. Instead, one must strengthen himself with thoughts of emunah and bitahon, and accordingly, then one is held liable only for the additional fear that a person brings upon himself. But one who relies on Hashem will be fortified in the sense that he will be saved even from a problem that already existed. So while fear can bring on new troubles, bitahon can save a person even from challenges that he's already confronting. And so what it's saying here very clearly is that it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid of naturally be afraid of something. You hear the sirens go off and for missiles, let's say. And this is what we experience every day, till even recently here in Israel, right? So you go to the miklat, you go to the bomb shelter. Are we supposed to be like unhuman, superhuman, and not be afraid? It's okay to have that fear, but to have fear is one thing. It's like it's a human experience to be fearful, but to let that fear be in control of you, or to look to have more fear upon you. I'll give you some examples. It's like you can rely, let's say, on one news source. Some people don't even use technology at all here in Israel, especially, you know, in more Haredi areas. They don't have technology. They don't connect to this stuff. But if you are connected to it, and I myself connect to it, because this is how I'm giving Shiurim as well. So you look at one or two places that's just factual reporting. None of this fluff, none of this fear-mongering, none of this, you know, this person said that person said this. Because that just brings upon oneself more reason to fear. That's the fear that the Beis Halevi here is talking about, that's dangerous for us to have. He's not talking about the regular fear, oh, I have to run to the bomb shelter, I'm afraid, I just heard the siren. That's okay. It's okay to be fearful and rely on Hashem. Fear and rely on Hashem. You understand? Fear and rely on Hashem. You can't control what's happening around you. Only Hashem controls that. right? It's okay to feel that tinge of fear and rely on Hashem. But now, if you go outside of that and you start to add more, let me go to this, you know, website, let me go to this chat group, let me see what they're saying here, let me see what Bibi's saying, let me see what Natalia, let me see what this person is saying. Oh my gosh, they think they're going to do this and they think they're going to do that. That's the fear that we're not supposed to do, and we're not supposed to bring that upon ourselves. That's where we can experience situations. You understand? That is, can be the downfall. That's where the downfall is. Not can be. That's where the downfall is, because we do it to ourselves. We're doing it to ourselves. We're using our free will, our Bechira, to add more fire to the fire. And we're not allowed to do that. Only rely on Hashem. A bomb, you know, is on its way. You got sirens all over the place. You know, go to the shelter. Be fearful. It's okay. Be frightened. It's okay. But rely on Hashem. Know that it's going to be okay. It's going to be, you're in the best hands ever. You're in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing's going to happen that's not supposed to happen. Nothing is going to happen to Hashem's most favorite, most amazing gift that Hashem has created in this world, which is Klal Yisrael. You have to know that. You have to know that everything that is around you, Hashem is orchestrating, that it's not to you, it's for you. And so we have to get in that mindset, especially now. Now, my lovely angels, during this time, if you look at the prophecies of end of days and you look at what's being said, and I'm telling you, it's as if it was talking about and giving commentaries on today's current events. If you look at, just go into the Talmud, Yalkut Shmoni, look at exactly what it says there. All the prophets, this is exactly what's happening today. And what it says, do not fear. The world will fear. The world will tremble. This will do that and that will do this. You'll see that very clearly. Persia, Edom, all that's very clearly laid out. But to Israel, you should not fear. Rely on Hashem, because Hashem is doing this for us. You understand? Hashem is doing this for us. So it's very important for us to inspire ourselves to have more bitahon. And this is why you're taking these lessons. This is why Hashem inspired us to bring this out to the world, to all the Bas Yisraels out there, because we have the ability to control the temperature in our homes. We can go back and fear monger our families, and we don't want to do that. We want to be that strong pillar saying, have bitahon and Hashem. It's all good. Sing. Sing mismona todat to Hashem. Be grateful and thankful to Him. That's what we need to be doing in our homes. If we're bringing in this extra energy of fear mongering, so we're contaminating our homes with this as well. And that's not healthy. That's what the Beis Halevi is telling us. It's dangerous for us to do that. And so we have to set the example for everyone around us. Be that pillar of strength. Be that pillar of bitahon. Say, okay, I know you're afraid. Guess what? I'm afraid too. I am afraid too. But you know what? I rely on my God. I rely on Hashem. And I know that everything is going to be okay and good. And I know, no, not believe. I know that Hashem is doing this just for us. And that's the message we have to send out there to everyone. And I'm going to bring something else here from the Beis Halevi, who cites a source to support the concept that being afraid of something, which is a result of a lack of bitahon, can cause the feared result to even materialize. This is nothing. This is not a joke. It's, remember, you ever hear that expression, there's nothing to fear but fear itself? So here we go. Listen to this. When Yaakov Avinu prayed for success before his reunion with his brother Esav, that, remember that encounter that the Torah talks about? He recalled how when he had first fled from his home, with my staff, I crossed this Jordan River, and now I've become two camps. I fear him, Esav, lest he come and strike me down. We see this in Bereshit. So the Panim Yavos explained that Yaakov Avinu bemoaned that years before he had the confidence to cross the Jordan River, so it split for him. But now he felt frightened and thought that it likely that Esav would defeat him because of that fright itself, because the fear of defeat can lead to defeat. Let me repeat this. The fear of defeat can lead to defeat. So let's understand that. And so in the book of Yirmiyah, it's written, do not be frightened of them, lest I cause you to be broken before them. And so Hashem is telling Yahu that he will influence the northern nations to lay siege all around the city of Jerusalem. But he warns the prophet to not be frightened of them, lest I cause you to be broken before them. So the fear itself can cause a person's downfall. And similarly, in Masechet Brachot, Yehuda Bar Nasan was following along after Rav Hamnuna. And so when Yehuda Bar Nasan sighed, indicating that he was worried and anxious about something, Rav Hamnuna said to him, "Do you want to bring afflictions upon yourself? It's written in Iyov, because I feared a fright and it has overtaken me. What I dreaded has come upon me." And by the way, this concept is discussed by the Maharal, and which explains this notion by contrasting two images, a thick tree branch extending over a large deep river and a tree branch lying across the floor. So anybody, Maharal observes, will be able to walk on a tree branch lying on the floor or even slightly above the floor. In the first scenario, however, when the tree branch is extended over a large deep river, only a very daring individual would take the risk, while most of those who try may fall in. So what's the difference? The difference is fear. When the tree branch is lying across the floor, we're not afraid to walk on it, and therefore we can easily balance our way across it. But when that very same branch is extended across a wide, deep river, we're afraid. And the fear itself causes us to fall. So thus, when we are afraid of something, that fear itself can cause that which we fear to actually come about. It's again, it's not a joke. It's something very serious to take to heart. Okay, so now let's continue here. Where do we leave off? Sorry, got distracted here. Okay, so let me see. Okay, it's written in Yehov, because I feared a fright, it has overtaken me. What I dreaded has come upon me. So the Beis Halevi now explains here a law in the Torah in light of this idea. Okay, and by the way, I want to say something here that the Beis Halevi says, the footnote that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Av Shalom, asked, how was it permitted for the Jewish soldiers to risk their lives and go out to battle? And so he answers that the Jewish battles were led by Hashem, and therefore they didn't need to take into account the dangers involved. Rav Chaim Mintz explains that based on the Rambam, who states that the Jewish soldiers relied completely on Hashem and therefore had no reason to fear, since through the merit of their bitahon, are you listening? Through the merit of their bitahon, they were indeed victorious. In fact, any soldier who was afraid and did not have full bitahon did not go out to battle. There was no danger. So there was no danger present in the Jewish wars, because everyone had bitahon in God. And that's how they were able to be victorious. So, and it's written also here, we see it in Devarim. When you go out to battle against your enemy and you see the horse and chariot and a people more numerous than you, you should not fear them. And the Ramban, in his account of the mitzvot and Sefer HaMitzvot, says in the section on the negative commandment, include this among the negative commandment, for one who is afraid during battle violates this negative commandment. And so, because the Ramban lists the command of do not fear them as a biblical commandment relevant specifically to warfare, forbidding soldiers to feel frightened as they approach the battlefield. Rabbeinu Yonah, however, writes that this command introduces an obligation. It's an obligation to place one's trust solely in Hashem, whatever the crisis is, whatever it is. So indeed, if a person did have fear before going to battle, he turns back from the regiments going out to war and he would not participate in combat. The Torah states in Devarim, who is the man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, right? For since he's fearful, he's liable to be captured, God forbid, because of this very fear. So for Israel's war, were not fought and won through their might. Rather, it was through only their bitahon. Do we understand? It can be seen also in the script, in the scripture statement in Yeshaya, where in quiet and in reliance will be your might. And it's written similarly in Tehillim, God is with me, I have no fear. What can man do to me? So, which by the psalmist means to say, since I have no fear, no man can do anything to harm me, period. You know, so fear also, just so you know, can lead to salvation even. Based on a Torah source, the Beis Halevi makes a frightening statement that fear itself can cause one's downfall. And this is the interpretation of the verse as the Beis Halevi quotes from the Gemara. And so Rav Yehuda Ades related that during one of the wars in Israel, a bomb struck a gas line in a crowded neighborhood in Jerusalem, causing a fire to erupt. Imagine that. The fire threatened to burn down the entire neighborhood, and very soon thereafter, a second bomb fell, striking a water pipe, causing it to burst. And the flow of the water extinguished the fire, and the neighborhood was saved. So Rav Addis noted that quite obviously, Hashem didn't want the neighborhood to burn down, as evidenced by the second bomb falling on the water line. So a person might therefore wonder why Hashem had the first bomb, had the first bomb cause a fire, creating the threat of disaster, and then immediately eliminate the threat. Like, why did Hashem let that happen? And so it's likely, Rav Addis explained that Hashem wanted to instill fear in people, leading them to pray and place their trust in Him. And this way, they would earn the merit that they needed to be safe from the catastrophe. Do we get that? So Rav Zadok HaKohen of Lublin offers an insightful added explanation to this verse, which sheds positive light on fear. Hashem has many special gifts that He wishes to bestow upon us. He wants to give us good health. He wants to give us financial success. He wants to give us something else that we may desire. However, in order to receive that gift, we have to pray to Him sincerely. So how will Hashem cause us to pray in that way? Think about that. He places us in an uncertain situation which causes us to fear. He causes us to fear, and He hopes that this will bring us to pray to Him and strengthen our bitahon, so thereby making us worthy of this gift. So the fear itself is what caused us to receive the blessing. And this explains Rav Zadok. It's the meaning of the verse, because I had fear, I have received Hashem's gift. So this is an entirely new perspective on fear and anxiety, an outlook that we should have whenever we face any fear. When a situation arises that causes us to worry, keep this in mind, because this is relevant to every day, especially during these times today. Whether it's a medical concern, a financial problem, or any other situation that makes us anxious, the war, for example, we should realize that Hashem wants to grant us something special. So He gives us the opportunity to earn it by overcoming our fears and placing our trust only in Him. It's up to us to decide if our fear is going to bring us about our downfall, as said here by the Beis HaLevi, or by Rav Zadok describes, that our fear will bring us to bitahon and the abundance of good that Hashem has in store just for us. Hashem, my beautiful angels, my lovely Bas Israel, Hashem is our loving Father at all times, and at times He wants to hear our voice and connect with us. And unfortunately, when things are going smoothly, we tend to forget about Hashem. And left with no other choice, Hashem puts us in certain situations in the hope that this is going to bring us to pray to Him and strengthen our bitahon, so thereby connecting us to Him and leading to our salvation. Because Hashem wants to only give us good things. Hashem only is a giver of goodness. Everything Hashem does is for our good. And so let's now continue here. Let's go now into Chovos HaLevavos. And I want to open up here. Rabbeinu Bachayil talks now here in the Shara Bitahon. Let's go into the second spiritual benefit of Bitahon. So another one of the benefits that Bitahon provides regarding spiritual matters is that when a person trusts in Hashem, his practice of relying on Hashem is going to cause him not to be subservient to anyone else. A person's not going to rely on anybody else or be a slave to anybody else. He will not hope for aid from any man or await assistance from any human being. Do we get that? Okay, and he will not see a need to serve people in order to curry favor with them. And additionally, since a person feels secure, he won't flatter people, nor will he acquiesce to them when they act in ways that are odds with the service of Hashem. And so, for even if they are powerful, their stature will not intimidate him, and he will not be afraid of confrontation with them, because he knows that Hashem watches over him. And on the contrary, by relying solely on Hashem, he will be able to throw off of himself the heavy garments of other people's favors that weigh on a person, and will thus rid himself of the burden of excessively thanking them and the obligation to repay them for their favors. And now, it's not that he will not accept favors from others and therefore not be indebted to them. Alternatively, though, he may accept favors, but he's not going to view them as protective garments, but as Hashem's way of caring for him. Thus, he'll express adequate appreciation to those who help welcome, but will not feel burdened to heap the praise and excessive honor. Excessive. I'm talking about excessiveness here, so that they should continue to help them. It's not going to be that like agenda that we have sometimes. Oh, the person was nice to me. Let me be extra, more nice to him, more than I normally would be, because I want to gain more from the person, or I want the person to continue to give me. That's what he's talking about here. So, moreover, if they do wrong and he rebukes them, he will not need to be overly cautious with their pride. Because Avos doesn't mean that the rebuker will shame them, for the Torah expressly forbids rebuking a person in an embarrassing way. Rather, that means that the rebuker will not feel that you must treat them with extreme deference, so that they should continue to help them. And thus will not be deterred from clearly pointing out their wrongs. And so, in other words, it's like, we'll say something, the person is doing something that's not okay for him to do according to the Torah. Because you love that person, you care about that person, you'll say something to him. But you're not going to be afraid to say something to him, just because if you say this or that, then he's not going to do any more favors for you. Because that's not going to be in your mind. Because you're going to know that the only favors that he's doing for you is because Hashem wants him to do it. Not because he chose himself to do it. He has to be here, right? Yes, he offered. He was available to do the favor. But that favor originally came from Hashem. That idea originally came from Hashem. The fact that he wanted to, that desire to want to, comes from Hashem. And so if you should need to humiliate them, let's say, for their sins, you won't be ashamed before them. And therefore, you will not vanish. Will not vanish your falsehood for them and minimize their evil. Because when we do that, when we criticize their evil in its fullness, rather than varnishing it and delivering only partial rebuke. Like, in other words, we're not going to tell them what we really need to tell them, because we have an agenda that we want to get more from them, or we don't want to upset them so that they shouldn't want to give us. That's not going to be in our mind. We're going to talk to them, and we're going to, you know, give them a little bit of musar if we can, right? Only because we love them. We love them, and we don't want to see, you know, them go through any averot. We want to be able to, you know, open their eyes and help them, but not because we want something more from them. That's not the agenda. That's not the agenda that we will have. A person that relies on Hashem doesn't think that way. So this is as the prophet Yeshaya said in Yeshaya, "For my Lord Hashem Elohim helps me. Therefore, I was not humiliated. Therefore, I made my face as hard as flint and knew that I would not be shamed." Because Yeshaya recognized that Hashem helps him. He didn't endure the humiliation of accepting gifts. Therefore, he was able to harden his face and be unashamed to speak his mind. And alternatively, Yeshaya was not ashamed to admonish even those who supported him financially, because he firmly believed that they were merely Hashem's emissaries and his livelihood didn't depend on them. That's exactly what we're talking about here. We are aware that we're not depending on them. So we're only depending on Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Havos HaLevavos cites here additional verses which show the importance of both being fearless before sinners and trusting in Hashem's protection for this purpose. So it says, "And we similarly find that Hashem said to the prophet Yehezkiel about the sinners of his times. He says, 'Fear them, fear not them, and fear not their words.' And he said further in that verse, 'Fear not their words and be not intimidated before them. Speak my words to them.' And he said to the prophet Yirmiyahu, 'Do not fear them, for I am with you to rescue you.' And he said further, 'Get up and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be intimidated before them.' And he also said to Hezekiah, 'Like a metal stronger than flint have I made your brow. Fear them not and be not intimidated before them.'" So here, this is what we just went through here. So the second benefit here of Bitahon is that it spares a person from being subservient to others, freeing him to dedicate himself honestly to Hashem's service and to be fearless in confronting even those that sin. So it's something that we have to be very mindful of, the power of Bitahon. The power of Bitahon is so amazing. Bezat Hashem, look, Hashem, what he's doing is he's giving us such a gift that he's allowing us to continue to learn more and more about him every single day. Every single day, all these numerous numbers of shiurim that we're giving to all the Bas Yisrael in our group alone, in the women's learning group, there's about 18 shiurim that Hashem has given us the light to put out there. It's all about Ashkafa. It's all about all these shiurim, Perkei Avot, Tomer Devora, right? The Pele Yowetz, Chavos HaLevavos, Laws of Lashon Hara, building a relationship with your God, Ahavas Yisrael, Chavos HaLevavos, all this, Tehillim, all this has to do with us building a relationship with our God and having a beautiful Jewish life and what the Hashkafa should look like. This is all our Shiurim. All our Shiurim, Mesilat Lishayim, you know, even talking about Ramchal and the way that God created the world and its purpose. All of that is only to help us become better Bas Israel, better servants of Hashem, better a part of Klal Israel, better mothers, better sisters, better daughters, better friends, better wives. This is all these courses and this women's that we have here, women's learning group, and by Bezat Hashem, we're updating the trusthashem.org website to include all these shiurims. All of this is for you, that Hashem is giving to you so that you can help yourself at such an easy, effortless way, which all you have to do is just literally press a button and listen and learn how to be an Eved Hashem, how to be an Eved of Klal Israel, how to be the best Bas Israel that you can possibly be. And it starts off with, which is the first shiur I give in any of shiurim, the first shiur I give is Shara Bitahon, because that is our commandment, is to fully rely on your God. And when you do that, you have everything. When you rely on Hashem, you have everything. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. Your life is never the same because you have only reliance on Hashem, and you'll only see goodness because everything around you will always be good. And you'll be in Hashem's VIP area. It's like we're going to say now in Psalms 91, you'll understand after this psalm, and I hope we already have this memorized, a powerful psalm this is, protects us from all dangers. It's like you'll be in that VIP space of Hashem and embraced in His loving and embraceness because you rely on Him. Psalms 91, whoever sits in the refuge of the Most High, he will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Hashem, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. I will trust in Him, for He will deliver you from the ensnaring trap, from devastating pestilence. With His pinion, He will cover you. And beneath His wings, you will be protected. Shield and armor is His truth. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in gloom, nor the destroyer who lays waste at noon. Let 1,000 encamp at your side and a myriad at your right hand, but to you it shall not approach. You will merely peer with your eyes, and you will see the retribution of the wicked, because you said, you, Hashem, are my refuge. You made the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. He will charge His angels for you to protect you in all your ways. On palms they will carry you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Upon the lion and the serpent you will tread, and you will trample the lion and the serpent. For he has yearned for me, and I will deliver him. I will elevate him because he knows my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in distress. I will release him, and I will bring him honor. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen. Amen.